not only Paul's perspective on ministry, but also our partnering together for the gospel. If I'd have come up with that title when I sent it to Miriam, that's what it would have been, okay? But I put up what I had first. Paul's perspective, which is partnership. We are partners together with the Lord and with one another. And so, as we begin this chapter, we have a very interesting setting. There is a famine going on in the Holy Land back in the first century. And it's been very devastating for all the people there, but in particular the people of the church, because many of them have lost jobs because of their faith, because they had been believers, they were Jews, and what has happened is that they have been ostracized by many, if they had a business, many of their clients, because they are now believers. And so Paul, as he found out about that, he began to develop a plan of sharing with the fellow believers back in the land of Israel, in Jerusalem in particular, where the church had its beginning on the day of Pentecost. And in the first four verses, that's what these verses are addressing, that particular need and the opportunity for the churches of Galatia and of Cappadocia and all those Oceans and things there in the area of Greece and Turkey today. It says this, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders or directions to the churches of Galatia," and that would be to their northeast, "so you must do also." Paul wasn't giving this as an option. He said, this is something we need to do on behalf of our fellow believers. We are one with them. We are partners with them. And so let us help them. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay aside something, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Paul didn't want to get to, he was planning on stopping by in Corinth, as we'll see in a moment, but he didn't want them to suddenly pull together a quick last-minute offering to make themselves look good in Paul's eyes. He said, right now, maybe months ahead of time, maybe it was a whole year, we don't know how exactly, he says, start now to plan and put a little bit aside each week for this particular need. And I will be coming by and gathering up not only the gift, but also a partner to go with me. And we will take this gift to our friends, our partners in Jerusalem. And when I come, whoever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting, I would also go, then they will go with me. And we do know that Paul ended up going there to Jerusalem himself and with a team of people together. Now he's writing to them concerning this way of compassionate or willingness to share, being compassionate for the needs of others. You probably know a little bit about the book of 1 Corinthians. And in Corinthians, in the church at Corinth, let's have a show of hands here, okay? Were they the ideal, growing, loving, wonderful church that they, yes? I see a lot of no's, okay. No, this was a church that was very real. It was very full of problems. And right from the very beginning, Paul talks about their divisions. Some liked Apollos better than Paul. And others said, well, we are followers of Christ, not of some man, you know. And there was a lot of pride involved in their church there. There was division, there was pride, there was confusion. They were misusing the Lord's table. They were condoning sin. And yet, Paul never gave up on them, did he? He continued to write letters to them, some that are not even recorded in our Bible. And he writes to them, and he, in this closing section of this letter, I think one of the things that he is doing is, and you have it up on the board here, that we are partners together in a worldwide eternal family. They didn't need to just focus only on Corinth. But wait a minute, God is doing something bigger. He's doing something worldwide. What did Jesus say to the early disciples? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. They needed to preach the gospel in Corinth, but they needed to also realize that God was working in other places. And you know, sometimes when we get too in focused, that's all we see. And it's good for us to see that, hey, God is at work in other places too. And we can be involved in his work in other places. Just as an example, I had the opportunity this past winter to teach a course online to students over in India. And it was really kind of thrilling and humbling to be involved with that and speaking through a translator and so forth. But one of the things that was really that happened was I found out that these students there in India, they needed shoes. Okay, blessed are those who, you know, work with the gospel, but they ought to have shoes on, right? So I mentioned it one time at our men's prayer breakfast. And I just said, hey, be praying for these guys. I'm trying to gather a bit of money to send to them so they can get shoes for these students. It was about a dozen or 15 of the students. And the guys start passing money down to the end of the table. You see, that was so cool because they saw a need and they wanted to be a part of something beyond just our little, you know, four walls here. That God is at work, and sometimes it's helpful for us to remember that God has a plan, a work going on all around the world. And so we can be involved in our missions outreach. When we help one another, there's a joy in that, but there's a joy in those that receive as well. And there's a mutual joy. I would like to mention, and I guess here's a little announcement, I guess I could say. I would like to recommend a service, a work of service that we can do. A few years ago, and we were involved in this, but I've been asked to coordinate lunches for our local summer school program again this year. They didn't meet the last couple of summers, but they're meeting again this summer. There's no funding for the school to provide lunch. So what I'm doing is gathering up churches to have a part in each day during the month of July to provide a lunch. Now, why bother? You know, they're just kids. That's the school. Well, wait a minute. Is it a way that we can shine a light in a dark world? And I think it is. So I've had some responses from churches already, but I'd like to have somebody here or a few of you contact me and be willing to help head that up. It's a way of looking outside of ourselves. Do you follow me? We need to see that there is a world around us that needs to know the Lord. And as we This is not particularly, I'll confess right up front here, not particularly a Mother's Day sermon, okay? But when it comes to thinking about needs and caring for needs, you know, who does that best? Right, guys? It's our wives, it's our moms, our daughters, you know. Praise the Lord for them. And if we jumped ahead over to verse 14, what does it say? Let all that you do be done, how? With love. And we thank the Lord for those who have loved us along the way. Well, a willingness to share is a very significant part of the ministry and being involved in reaching out in various ways. A second area that Paul addresses here is a respect for leaders. I'm going to jump ahead down to verse 10, and we're going to come back to these other verses in a moment. A respect for leaders. Why did Paul send Timothy to the church at Corinth? Because he and Timothy were really into developing the Paul-Timothy ministry so that they might become famous. I think that's why Paul sent Timothy, because they just wanted to be better known and maybe get more funding. No, not at all. Not at all. Paul said, here's why I'm sending Timothy. Well, let me say it this way. This is not what he said. I'm going to give you a few examples, okay? When Timothy comes, let's go down to verse 10, okay? When Timothy comes, and the if there is more likely a when, see that he may be with you without fear. Now, stop reading right there. Just a second, okay? See that he would come to you without fear, because you all know he is the greatest guy out there. Is that what he said? No. Because he's got a great sense of humor, it'll be lots of fun. No, that's not what Paul wrote. He said, don't let him be afraid when he comes to you, because he's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. No. That's not what he said. He said, accept him, welcome him, because what? He does the work of the Lord as I do. Why should we honor someone? Why should we follow them? Not because of their personality, not because of their special, you know, human abilities, but rather, are they carrying on the work of the Lord? That's really what matters. They may be different than our former pastor. They may be different than, you know, the issue is, are they carrying on the work of the Lord? Do I like his style? Do I like him? Do I, whatever. It's not so much my personal feeling, it's who has God brought to us. That needs to be our focus and our remembrance. And so, they are a partner with God in feeding and shepherding and serving, and then to show us how to do the same. Just listen, I don't know if the verse is up there. It is. You can look it up later again, but I got there first, all right? And we urge you, this is 1 Thessalonians 5, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. What was happening in Corinth, we mentioned it already, but the people were playing favorites. They were saying, yeah, but I like Apollos because he's way more polished and he's really exciting when you listen to. And Paul, he's just kind of ho-hum, and all he does is tell the truth. Okay. All right, you can take that a long ways, right? But what do we need is those who will preach the word faithfully and see God use that by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, back to First Corinthians. Along the way, I'm going to remind you of another important passage. 2 Timothy 3:16 says what? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that, what? The man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished or equipped for every good work. So we're just, when we're respecting leaders, we also need to have that idea of respecting each other and honoring as we serve the Lord together. Again, we're not in competition. The Sunday school is not in competition with the youth group, etc., etc., okay? And so we want to be those who will be working together and serving together and do the work that the Lord has called us to do in this community. Now, along with that of respecting of those in leadership and those in serving, and let us be generous not only with our pocketbooks for helping people with needs, but let us be generous with our words of thanksgiving and appreciation for those who are serving us. Those who are doing children's church, parents especially, do you thank them? I'm sure you do, but please keep it up. For those who are involved, Tina, doing the music, thank them. For Alden. All right, we need to thank each other for those things that are being done for the Lord's glory. Now, that leads us then to the next section here, an appreciation for God's people. Verses 15 and following. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. So apparently, this Stephanas was one of the first believers in that area, and his whole family became followers and servants of the Lord, and that you also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. Apparently, Stephanas had become one of the elders in the church there and was involved in the ministry. But also, he was involved with some others, too. Look at verse 17. I am glad about coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. For what was lacking on your part, they supplied. For they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. You may remember that... And I've said this a few times already, because this is one of the number one killers of churches, and that is when there's division, when there's favoritism and so forth. These folks here are people who kind of came to Paul. They found him on behalf of the ministry of their church there, and I think partly they came with some problem, some of the issues that Paul had to write about. But why did they come? To gossip and to complain? No, they came for wisdom. They came to ask Paul, help us. God is using you greatly. You have started this church. What do we do in this situation? So they have come to him for help, and they ministered to him while he was there. They were very appreciated by Paul. You see, Paul was not a one-man band. He didn't say, okay, I've got it all together. You guys just all have to follow me and listen to me. No, he appreciated those who had a part in his ministry. and we have these examples. We don't know much about them, except that it says, look at the end of the beginning of verse 18. They refreshed my spirit. Do you know how valuable that is? I'm sure you do, don't you? When you can be refreshed by somebody, they didn't come and they just didn't lay another burden on top of you. I mean, not that we shouldn't share our concerns and our prayer requests with each other. I'm not saying stop that. But there are times when, you know, we need to be very intentional in encouraging other people. And here they refreshed his spirits. In other words, these guys were helpful in Paul's ministry. And just as children need their moms, we as Christians need a local fellowship to be a part of. I want to encourage you to be here regularly and to encourage the new pastor as well as one another. You know, the COVID years, I guess we'll refer to them as that, really took a toll on our connections with each other. And so many people that have just not come back, not so much here, but all around the world, and especially in the U.S., they've just gotten very comfortable with just watching TV on a Sunday morning. And then that begins to drift to where, well, I'll watch it once a month, you know, and it gets less and less. Because we need that connection. We need to appreciate God's people and make every effort to refresh one another. Another example of this, I didn't want to go too many places here, but if you just back up to the end of Romans, where Paul is doing some housekeeping with the Romans, what does he say? And for chapter 16, verse 1, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the churches of the church in Cenchrea. Now, we don't know a whole lot about her, except that, what does it say here? That you may receive her in the Lord and in the manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many and to myself also. How? I don't know for sure. Did she feed him once in a while somewhere along the way? Did she provide him with some funds? Did she recommend a young person to work alongside him? Maybe yes to all those things. I don't know. But it says she has been a great help to many people. You know, most of us will live our lives fairly unknown to the wider community of the church and other parts of the country and the world. But we can faithfully serve here. And wouldn't it be great to have on every one of our tombstones an epitaph like this? She or he has been a great help to many people. You know, one of the things that I am struck by when I think back of the story of Cornelius, who was actually was my father's name, so I like that story, okay? When he heard the message of Peter and he got saved there, that, by the way, that's in Acts chapter 10, okay? It's really in the book, okay? When Peter is speaking, he spoke of Jesus and the gospel. But here's one of the descriptions of Jesus in, I think it's verse 31. It says, and he went about doing good. Describing Jesus. He went about doing good. Maybe that'd be a good epitaph on your tombstone as well. You know, think about those things. Anyway, let us be those who appreciate the workings of those around us and those who seek to lead us. So pray for Pastor Glenn. Pray for Pastor Steve. Pray for the deacons. We want to see God continue to do a work here and through us. One last thought, I think it's up there. Do you want to have a meaningful, objective for your life? Try this. I give my life today to be a great help to many people. I don't care if I'm known or unknown. I don't care if people applaud. I just want to serve in partnership with those around me. Quite honestly, if you mean that as you pray, you will be pretty excited about what God's going to do in your life. But you also, all right, this is the downer, okay? You also will be a target for the enemy. Just so you know that. And that's our last point today. That is a realization that ministry isn't easy. Opportunity, well, I turned it around backwards. Opposition is opportunity's partner. Let's go back to verses 8 and 9 of 1 Corinthians 16. Verses 8 and 9, I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. Obviously, that's where Paul was ministering at this particular time. He had a good connection there. But he says, for a great and effective door has opened to me. Yahoo, praise the Lord. What did I leave out? Somebody say it. And there are many adversaries. There is opposition. When we are serving the Lord, I mean, you ought to know this already, but just a reminder, when you're serving the Lord, there is going to be opposition. Paul didn't choose places of ministry that would suit his pleasure. You read through the book of Acts, especially chapter 14. What does he do? He's in a town. I can't remember all the names right now. All right, he's in a town. He starts preaching the word, and he's gone into the synagogues. The Jews get all stirred up, and they chase him out of town. He goes to the next town. Pretty much the same thing happens. He gets to the next town and they actually stone him and drag him out of the city because they think he's dead. Now, well, that's the way to serve, huh? Yipes. But what did he do? What did he do? He preached the word faithfully, and whether he got thrown in jail or not, that really wasn't his main issue. He was there because he was following God's leading. Now, I don't anticipate that any of us, at least in the next, few months anyway, are going to get stoned and drug out of the town and left for dead. It seems unlikely at this point, even in America, okay? Now, if we were in India right now, did you know that the Hindu extremists are really getting on Christians right now? Really bad time. So be praying for them. Opposition will come. We have been very much at ease, really, in the U.S., and unfortunately, I think Satan has taken advantage of our ease, and we can get pretty soft in our faith. Well, Paul didn't choose where he wanted to go because it was easier, or he didn't say, like some today might say, well, God's called me into ministry, but I don't want to go to Michigan because it's too cold. Yeah, really? Okay. Or I don't think I want to go to New England because everybody up there is just too liberal, too hard. No. Where does God want you? And that's going to be our closing thought in just a moment. Okay. Paul was in the thick of the battle. He accepted challenges and oppositions and kept doing God's work. Watch out for the idea that if you're really in touch with God, everything is going to go easy. That's stupid, because there's an enemy, and he is going to seek to disrupt us. If you're following God's way, if there's opposition, hey, that's a good sign. because the enemy is wanting to slow you down. There is no easy church to pastor, even here. All right? Because we're all people. Right, John? That's just who we are. Every church is filled with people. I was listening. I like Alistair Begg myself, and I listen to him off and on. And he was saying, you know, he has these pastors' conferences, and all these pastors come in and said, oh, boy, I wish I could pastor here. You know, and he says, man, you don't know anything. This is no fun place to pastor. I mean, he's doing a great job, but it's not easy. He's got all kinds of backlash and people that are against him. But ideally, it's not the people of the Lord that are against us, right? It's those from the outside. And let us be careful that we would maintain what we have in the first couple of points. That is that we honor and respect our leaders and we love one another and we work together well with one another so that when the opposition comes, we are together in facing it. Let us not assume that everything is going to be cozy and comfortable, because what you end up with then is us four and no more. And I would rather have more than four, and we do, but we want to keep going, don't we? Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And if you're ever wondering about the significance and the value of suffering and the reality of suffering, read 1 Peter. Okay, just take some time to read 1 Peter. Now, I want to ask as we conclude, am I living out and declaring the truth of the gospel? Have I been silent in my contact with people? Am I just happy to sit here and absorb some good teaching? No, it needs to be more than that. We've been called to grow and to go, to feed and to fish. Now, that isn't from me. I just came across that, okay? So don't get too corny about it. But I think it does say pretty much what we want to say. So at the end, and did I put this in the... No, I didn't. Okay. A quick review. Be compassionate and generous. Respect those in the Lord's work. God uses a variety of people to do his work, and opportunities do abound around us. The ideal place in which to work is where? Right where you're at, okay? Now, are you thinking about leaving your home because your marriage is not ideal? Are you thinking about moving on because your boss isn't ideal? Thinking about leaving OBC because we're not ideal? Are you fed up with the kids? The ideal place to serve God is the place where he sets you down. So let me challenge us to join together in serving God and one another. He is worthy of our devotion and our praise. And you know what? He's put people around us who he can use in their lives for good. He can use us in their lives for good. Let us be committed to doing that in the days to come. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Father, now use us today and in the days to come to love one another and to stand together in the truth of the gospel when difficult days come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.